Welcome, everybody, to a live episode of Strong Style this week here on the Outlaw Nation channel. I am the Outlaw, John Rocha. You can call me the Raw GM, and I am joined by my man down there in Orlando, Aaron Turner, the SmackDown GM. How are you, brother?
Well, at least for tonight, I am the SmackDown GM, and just like a fly on Mike Pence's head, I'm just here to hang out.
What a debacle. I mean, we're not getting into that, obviously. But, man, sometimes when everything's against you, everything is against you, man. You got to read the signs sometimes to go, you know what? It's been fun. I'm out of here, you know. So, but that was the situation for sure. We're seeing, well, and we'll see tonight, you know, if there's going to be anybody with flies on their head as well as, you know, maybe there'll be some surprises in this draft happening tonight for the WWE on SmackDown. I think both rosters are in play. Is that correct, Aaron? How does this work tonight?
Yeah, Raw and SmackDown are in play. They haven't said that NXT is, but it keeps getting pushed around. Is NXT eligible? We don't know. Will someone from NXT be drafted? We don't really know. They haven't said for sure. Right. Triple H alluded to it not being a part of it, but then again, they didn't outright say no. But in our draft, today, NXT is eligible. So
NXT is absolutely eligible in our draft. This is going to be a blast. We got like so much to get into today. We're going to talk about a little Kurt Angle stuff, a little Ember Moon stuff. We're going to revisit Cactus Jack versus Van Vader from 1993's Halloween Havoc, I think. It's a Texas death match for the WCW. You know, I don't think the title's on the line.
It's non-title. Yeah, non-title.
Right, it's non-title, but it is a Texas death match. And of course, we'll talk a little bit about Glow being canceled over there at Netflix and even give a little bit of shout out follow up to our Ryan conversation last week. Got some news to update us on Ryan Satin as well. Congratulations to him. We're going to talk about that in a little bit as well. But we got so much to go on. But we're going to start off the show, I think, Aaron, with a mock draft. Is that what we want to do when we start it off? Let's or do you want to get into the news first?
Hell, I don't care. Let's do that first. That sounds like fun.
Okay. All right. All right, so how are we gonna do this? And while we're doing this, by the way, we want you all to send in your super chats and your Streamlabs, send in your questions, send in your suggestions for who we should be drafting here as the draft goes on. We're gonna have a little fun doing that here right off the bat. So pull out your rosters for Raw and SmackDown and have the NXT one sitting over there too that we can play with and follow along with us and see who we got and who you would want to take and if you got some issues with the ones we've chosen as well.
I want to know people's first picks. Like, who, if you had the ability to draft anybody off the draft board, doesn't matter who. I want to know who people would pick because that's really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Who would want to do that? But John, you are on the clock first. This is how this is going to work.
All right, break it down.
We're each going to have 10 picks. Mm-hmm. John is Raw, so he's going to go first. I'm SmackDown. We're not going to do a snake draft because I don't want to, you know,
right.
That bullshit. So John's going to pick. I'm going to pick. John's going to pick. I'm going to pick till we get 10. Here's also something. If you have a faction, let's say Rocha wants to draft the New Day. Okay, that's one pick. Yeah. One pick is the New Day, so he gets all three of them. But if he just wants Kofi, that's also one pick. He can just draft Kofi if he doesn't want Big E and Xavier Woods.
Right.
So that's just how that's going to work. I mean, I'm not going to set a time clock, but try to go kind of fast.
Yeah,
And maybe give like a brief, like, I picked this person because.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, man, whenever you're ready, kick us off.
All right, so both of us are keeping two wrestlers, right?
That's right. I'm sorry, I didn't mention that. So Rocha is going to keep Drew McIntyre and Asuka because they are the champions, respectively, of the show.
Yep.
I'm keeping Roman Reigns and Bayley. They are not eligible to be drafted. But everybody else that is in the draft pool that is an active WWE superstar, NXT, Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live is eligible. So it could be fun.
Yeah. Give us a like on the video as well as we're doing this. And don't forget, you send your Streamlabs if you got some questions right above Aaron's head is the address. Or if you want to go into the description of this video, you can do so as well there. Send in some support and some donations here to the Outlaw Nation and to Strong Style. If not, you can send in a super chat for sure. So, all right. Let's take a look. I've got I'm going to put myself under a 30-second timetable to start off here. I am keeping Drew McIntyre and I am keeping Asuka. They are my division. They are my side. So I'm also my first pick. I think it has to be the architect himself, Seth Rollins. I mean, how could I not take Seth Rollins? Absolutely great pick for me to take. He's one of the greatest wrestlers ever, and he will have the strap around his waist one more time again. He's going to go face to go up against Roman at some point down the road, I have a feeling.
Well, you can't go against Roman because he's on my show, so that's not going to happen.
We'll see. Maybe we'll do a little wild card rule. You know, that's possible, too.
Maybe it'll happen. Don't say that. Maybe it'll happen in Survivor Series. Well, you know, first picks, since I'm up here, you know, first picks in the drafts are usually your, you know, your franchise player. That's who you want to build your entire roster around, which I really like the pick of Seth Rollins there for you. Yeah. Going a little different here. I'm going to NXT, and I'm going to take someone I feel like I can build an entire division around. And I'm taking Rhea Ripley.
Wow. That's my
number one pick. I go Lady Rhea Ripley, number one to SmackDown. She's coming. The brutality comes to SmackDown.
I think you're just showing off by choosing that pick, but I respect the fact you need to feel that to do that.
She's a badass, man. She is a badass.
Yeah, I can't deny that for sure. All right, let me write this down. Rhea Ripley, so I know that she's off the table. Rhea Ripley, and you kept Reigns and who else? Bayley.
Right. And I'm going to make a graphic for this at the end, like later, maybe later tomorrow, so we can both, like, people can vote or people can be like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. J-Dog says, a happy birthday to Tony Shalhoub. Monk himself, yeah. 67 years young. Wow, 67. He's now the same age as the Hulkster, brother. Have a great long weekend, fellas. Believe that. Thank you so much, Jay. Appreciate it, man. Much love to Tony Shalhoub as well, who's also in the Cars movies as well as I think it's Giuseppe, the good name of the character.
Happy birthday to Eddie Guerrero as well. Eddie Guerrero.
Absolutely. Eddie Guerrero, Latino Heat,
not eligible.
Latino Heat, not well. Maybe with a you know, like an extra pick or something.
A Hall of Fame draft.
Hall of Fame, right? Hall of Fame choice. All right, let me see. I've got about 30 seconds. So Shinsuke is tempting. That's for damn sure. Kofi's really tempting. Daniel Bryan, who's AJ Styles is possible. Listen. I mean, if you're going to go with Rhea Ripley, I got to go with my own lady here. I mean, it breaks my heart to choose her over the other one, but I got to take Sasha Banks here. Sasha Banks, I know I take her out of contention for Bayley's title, but I put her in a program with Asuka. Mm-hmm. So for me, that makes a lot of sense in terms of entertainment, in terms of doing what's best for business, and Sasha sells. And you know what? The Sasha Bayley thing is almost close to running its course, so I think eventually she's going to have to jump over anyway, and I think it's a good choice.
Well, it is a good choice. I do like it. But I need someone to go up against Roman Reigns. I need a heavy hitter. And this guy hasn't been on SmackDown for a long time. Well, about a year or so he was on SmackDown. Oh. So he's going to be coming back eventually. I'm going with Brock Lesnar.
Oh, damn.
Brock Lesnar.
Nice. A nice choice. I respect that choice. I think it's a great choice. Let me see here.
Paul Heyman's got a real debate of who to go with. Does he go with Roman or does he go with his main guy, Brock Lesnar?
Right.
That's the question.
All right. Oh, is the UK in play? No, I'm not going to go that far down.
If you want to go NXT UK, you can. I just didn't know if you watched it. So I wasn't sure. If you want to pick one, go.
No. I don't think I can. Where's my man? There he is. All right. I think with my next pick, because we're talking about the future here, and you're talking about someone who could maybe, if I turn him heel, could compete for championship, and I need to put some butts in seats eventually and sell some tickets for this arena that I'm going to set my Raw matches in. So I'm going to take my man who just got called up, Keith Lee. I'm going to take big Keith Lee.
Good call.
All right. Who'd you take again? Who'd you take again?
I have Rhea Ripley and Brock Lesnar.
I'm putting that in. Lesnar. All right. Yeah. Keith Lee is who I take on my side of things.
Great pick. I like it.
Thank you.
I'm going to go a little different. I know I said we were going to take an entire group, and I'm going to take an entire group. I'm going to take the Hurt Business from Monday Night Raw, which is MVP Bobby Lashley and Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. So I get all four of them.
Wow.
The Hurt Business comes to SmackDown, Jack.
All right. It was an MVP.
MVP, Bobby Lashley, yeah. Cedric Alexander, and Shelton Benjamin.
Wow.
Hurt Business.
Shelton's still doing his thing. Shelton Benjamin. All right. That's a good choice.
Plenty of good people still on the board, guys. Plenty of still.
We're getting some complaints here. Lesnar's not on the contract anymore. Is that a valid pick?
I re-signed him. He came back in. I mean, I could re-pick it if you want, but it doesn't matter. He's a free agent.
No, you've chosen him.
He's coming to SmackDown.
Aaron Entertainment says, number one pick for me is Roman on SmackDown. It would boost his heel ego.
Wouldn't that be the worst? Yeah, that'd be good. That's probably what's going to happen tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Let's take a look at who I've got to play with here. There's a lot of choices here to go through and look at. But what's the one that's going to make a great splash? Oh, how could I resist? I got to keep her. Charlotte Flair. I mean, how can I not keep Charlotte Flair on the list? I mean, I know she's coming back from injury and what have you, but how can I not keep the queen?
You know, I contemplated taking Charlotte, but I was like, no, I got to, even though she's not old, she's younger than me. Like, yeah. I'm like, I got to go with Rhea Ripley because she's younger. She's like 23. I got to go with her.
All right. Talk yourself into whatever you need to talk yourself into.
I guess you're right about that. Well, I got the number four pick here, and I'm going to go back to NXT. I'm going to grab I'm going to grab Mr. NXT Takeover himself, Johnny Takeover. Whoa. Johnny Gargano at number four, coming to the SmackDown brand. Johnny, he's going to do big things. He's going to be my Intercontinental champion at some point. Johnny Gargano, my man.
All right. I respect that. You know, it's so funny. You look at these rosters. There's so many talented wrestlers to choose from. You know, they really have a plethora, as I said, a plethora of talent going up and down the roster. But there is someone I got to take a look at and I got to bring over. Now, I know a lot of people have been clamoring for him to come up. You've even heard me say it a couple of times here on this show. And maybe he's controversial for all the most interesting reasons, or not really the great reasons. Yeah, no, I'm not talking about Velveteen Dream. I'm not talking about Velveteen. I'm talking about Adam Cole, baby. I'm taking Adam Cole. I'm hurting my man Aaron Turner right off the bat there. That is a dagger on purpose, yep, to Aaron Turner, to throw him off. Absolutely. Yep. I am taking Adam Cole up in this. In fact, is he still with
the Undisputed Era?
Yeah.
Are you going to take them all?
I'm going to take them all then. I'm going to take Undisputed Era to counter the Hurt Business. Hurts. The Undisputed Era.
That does hurt. That hurts a lot. They're definitely on my list. But okay.
It's about time they came up.
That's okay. Draft, you know, NFL draft is crazy. Like, things happen. Trades happen. People go where you don't expect them to go. So that's
right.
That's fine. I get it.
But who do I get? Adam Cole.
Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and Roderick Strong.
So has Riley turned yet or not yet?
No, nobody's turned yet. Everybody's still hunky dory, but we'll see pretty soon. That's probably.
I'm taking it. This is good. This is a good draft.
You got the entire Undisputed Era. That sucks. Beautiful. Well, fine. We'll find then. Number five, I'm just going to go very straightforward. A stalwart, my workhorse. It's going to kick so much ass.
Yeah.
And he always does. AJ Styles, number
four. Oh, great choice, man. Great choice.
They don't want none. It's AJ Styles. Mr. Boneyard match. Oof, you can't go wrong with AJ Styles. One of the best in the world, if not the best in the world.
I was leaving him for the end, near the end, but you picked him up. Nice choice, man. Nice choice.
Wow. You're number six now. Number six.
This is tough. There's a lot of great talent on the board. Billy Kay's on the board, so I don't mean that. Peyton Royce, I don't mean that either. Yikes, taking the shots while I can. How have I not chosen him? Braun Strowman. We got to bring Braun Strowman over here to Raw.
Braun coming to Raw, number six.
Braun and McIntyre. That's a great program to play.
That's a WrestleMania main event, in my opinion. Absolutely. So you may have your WrestleMania side of
all right.
Raw side WrestleMania main event right there. It's a good one. All right, so I'm in number six. Oh, man, these two are a tag team, but I'm gonna break them up because, you know what? No, I'm gonna take them both because they're both tag team champions on SmackDown. I'm gonna keep them together. How about Cesaro?
Yeah,
and Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm taking them both.
They're the namesake of our show. Shinsuke Nakamura, strong style.
So I got Cesaro and Shinsuke at number six. Those are both great choices, brother.
Great choices. I'm not going to fault you on those choices.
I'm building a roster here. I think we both got balanced rosters at the moment. I think
I feel it.
Both pretty good.
I feel it.
So you're on number seven.
I am on number seven. And when you're looking at number seven, you're looking to make a name for yourself. You're looking to bring in someone that's been kind of overlooked right now, and someone who has made a surprising decision to become a full-time NXT competitor on this side of the pond, and I'm talking about Toni Storm. I'm taking Toni Storm.
You're ripping my heart and soul out right now.
This is a fantastic choice by me. Toni Storm, such a great competitor, great wrestler, already over with the fans like crazy for her ability and her look. So I'll be selling merch like crazy, and I'll know exactly what to do with Toni Storm, and I'll know exactly where to put her in the right program to have her not maybe main event WrestleMania this time around, but certainly be one of the last matches at WrestleMania to get people all hyped up for sure. Her and Asuka, that's a hell of a combo for a title.
I'm cussing out my advisors in the SmackDown war room right now. Like, how did we let Toni Storm? How did we let Toni Storm go right through our fingers? How did this happen? Like, I don't understand. We got one Australian in Rhea Ripley. We could have had the other one in Toni Storm. Oh my God, it's crazy. Okay, all right. I see Grimash saying Io Shirai. I'm not taking Io Shirai. I know that it's controversial, but I'm not going to.
All right.
I'm actually gonna go female too here, but I'm gonna go someone that I think I can build. Like she had some flashes of greatness. I think she's got some real potential. She's out right now handling some personal business, but I'm going with this might be a surprise to everybody. I'm going with Sonya Deville.
Wow.
Because I think I can do some things with Sonya Deville on SmackDown. Okay. I think she can be very good on this.
That's a great choice, bro.
When she gets her personal stuff taken care of, she is more than welcome back in the locker room to come back and compete. Sonya Deville, welcome to SmackDown.
Wow. Strong choices. All strong choices. I mean, do I re-sign EC3? And do something with him?
Can't do that. He's a part of Ring of Honor and he's a part of Impact now. So
resign Zack Ryder and bring
him back. No, nobody wants that.
Oh man. Oh, this is a tough choice.
Nobody wants that.
There's three right now in my head that I'm looking at right now. Oh man. I can't believe I'm gonna do this. Oh my God, I gotta do this though. No. Yeah. Hold on. Let me take a look here real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta get some skinnier dudes because I just have beef over my side of the table.
You've got the big meat over here.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, having all these the Undisputed guys are in, but they're like not gonna fight each other necessarily. So I gotta get some skinnier dudes who can start some crap. With the Undisputed Era. So I gotta start with damn, it breaks my heart, but I gotta go with Ricochet here. I gotta put Ricochet on the Storm, right? He's been kind of lost a little bit in the shuffle recently, and I gotta bring him in to give him a program with Adam Cole. That seems to make sense. It writes itself, does it not?
I
feel like, yeah.
All right.
Corey Springer coming for you, man. Ouch.
What does simp down mean? What does that mean?
Ouch.
I don't know. But anyway, number eight, I am going to go across the pond. I decided to go ahead and do it. I'm going to NXT UK, and I'm going to grab the longest reigning NXT I'm going to grab the longest reigning NXT UK champion of all time, Pete Dunne. Bruiserweight is coming to SmackDown. You are going to love Pete Dunne on Friday nights. It's going to be awesome.
Controversial choice, my man. Controversial. Pete Dunne in the first 10. That is controversial. All right. Yeah,
for some, but not for me. And a sit down up in here, Corey Springer.
Wow. Great choice, my man. Great choice. Let's see where I got to go. I mean, I want to take this guy. I got to take this guy. I know I said I needed skinnier dudes, but how can I not take? Wait, where am I at? What pick are we at? Eight?
You're on number nine.
Number nine, second to last.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. No, I'm gonna do it with the other guy. I'm gonna go with Kevin Owens. I gotta go with KO. How can I not go with KO?
Now I'm getting mad.
Raw is Owens. I gotta go with Kevin, for God's sakes.
The Kevin Owens show.
I was going to go the other direction. I was going to go with someone else that has been getting a lot of pub over the last year, but that's where I got to go.
I feel like you're just jumping into my head and being like, you're getting right in my head. So I got to take Kevin Owens off my draft board.
KO, KO, KO.
All right, so number nine, this guy hasn't been picked yet. Not really sure what his future would hold on this show, but maybe we can do something with him and some other people. But okay. it's a shame he hasn't been picked yet. You know what? I'm gonna save it for this one. I'm gonna go a little different.
Okay.
I'm not gonna go to NXT this time, even though I really want to with my number nine pick.
Okay.
I am going to choose. Let me just make sure that I'm doing the right thing here. I'm going to choose the entire New Day.
Oh, so the entire, you bastard.
So the entire New Day, Big E, Xavier Woods, and Kofi all stay on SmackDown.
Wow.
While you're making that pick, I'm going to step away for just a second.
Okay.
Okay. And now I'm back.
Nice. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. This is tough, dude. Last pick. In my draft, there's someone that I could totally take, and I'm surprised, but I just don't like him. I just don't 100% like him, and that's the problem. Even though I know he puts butts in seats, even though I know he's got a certain possession of a certain Alexa Bliss that I love to pieces, I can't take him. I just can't take him. I don't feel like he's someone I really want to have on my roster.
That's interesting. And Grimosh is right because he's saying I should have got KO by now. He's exactly right because yeah. I planned on picking KO a little earlier. That Sonya Deville pick really got me.
Oh, man.
But it's okay. It's okay.
Damn it. I'm gonna need some extra. I'm requesting some extra time from the judges because this is
judges are gonna allow it. Judges are gonna allow it.
This is a tough choice. Oh man! I mean,
look in the gallery. There's suggestions in there. So just
there are. I know. I see the suggestion. Oh, let me see here. Let me see who you people are suggesting. Yeah. I mean, wait. Is he available?
Who's that?
If he's available,
Walter is available.
I gotta go with Walter. That's a guy I like. That's a guy I can get behind and create programs for. Absolutely. Walter is a great last choice. I know I said I needed skinnier dudes, but he's a beefy guy. You know what? Beef sells. Beef, it's what's for dinner. For God's sakes, I gotta take it.
I know you didn't want to take him, but I feel like I have to take him. And yeah. I'm gonna get him and I'm gonna let him in to the Firefly Funhouse. Everybody, welcome to the Firefly Funhouse. Mr. Bray Wyatt. The fiend, Yowie Wowie. Welcome to the Firefly. I got this week. It's an awesome view.
That's cool.
If you shop on Ringside Collectibles, the Firefly Funhouse Bray Wyatt, it's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. That's a
Yowie cool. Wowie. So Yowie Wowie, Bray Wyatt, my man, comes to me at number 10.
Nice.
Easy pick. Nice. I mean, if they end up being a group, I guess I would get Alexa Bliss too, but I'm not going to push it that far. I know that I know you wouldn't be very happy with that. So I think we did a lot of good here, man. I really do.
Oh, Jack Kelly's got some issues. I think they're going for younger talent. Otherwise, huge oversights.
He's right. He's right. He's very right. Yeah. I'm going younger on SmackDown. I'm going super young. So with Rhea Ripley and Johnny Gargano, Sonya Deville, Pete Dunne, I am going pretty young. I'm not going to lie. But I do have my stalwarts in there. I got my Cesaros, my Nakamuras, my AJ Styles, my Bobby Lashley's, my Brock Lesnar's. I feel like I'm pretty balanced when it comes to age. Yeah, we didn't pick Edge. So what? Big deal. He's hurt.
Yeah.
Randy Orton's still available. We can get Randy Orton somewhere down the road.
So. You can get Randy Orton for pennies on the dollar.
That's right. He's having a great year, but I could still get him for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, he's an older wrestler, man, for God's sake.
I mean, there could be a supplemental draft down the road. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see what happens. But for now, you know, you've got your list. I've got mine. I will put a graphic up and you guys can decide who you think had the better draft. I think it was me. But then again, Roka got a lot of beef. Like he said, he got a lot of heavies in there. He got, you know, Rollins, Keith Lee, Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, Undisputed Era. There is no misses there. There is no misses.
Yeah. I apologize to all my friends who are, you know, who wanted to see me pick a Latino wrestler, but Andrade just hasn't been doing it for me lately. And Zelina was a real, real strong consideration. I was sitting there with Zelina in my head for a little bit, but in the end, she hasn't shown me enough yet to show me that she can necessarily be a main eventer just yet. But I think she's building to that spot for sure. And I love how much more she's been wrestling lately than before. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty proud of my choices. A nice variety. Got Sasha in there. Got Rollins, Keith Lee. I mean, there's not a non-main eventer in that whole crew that I selected here for just about any pay-per-view I want to do down the road. So I'm pretty happy with what I got.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So there you have it. There's a fantasy draft.
Yeah. A Kevin Owens Walter tag team. Say goodnight. But just put the belts on now.
Say goodnight. I like it. What about Walter or I don't know. Walter? Is that he's Austrian? So I'll go with Walter versus Braun Strowman. Like, yeah. What about that? Or Walter versus Drew McIntyre.
That's a great back and forth.
Kevin Owens versus Keith Lee. Like, yeah. Those are all good high profile matches. And on my side, I got, hey, what about Brock Lesnar versus Nakamura? Like, what about the Fiend versus Bobby Lashley? I mean, what about AJ Styles versus Pete Dunne? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, there's a lot come here. Asuka with Charlotte, Tony Storm with Asuka, Tony Storm with Charlotte.
There you go.
I got a lot there. Sasha and Tony Storm going at it. Two technical wrestlers having a lot of fun. Sasha and Charlotte can reawaken the Sasha-Charlotte rivalry and bring in Asuka and this Asuka and Charlotte again. I mean, there's so many choices here. There's so many things to play with that excite me madly for sure. And Rollins being my X factor. Rollins being my tweener rolling around there. So a lot of fun with that. Yeah.
I mean, I've got Bayley and Roman Reigns also to play with. You've got McIntyre and Asuka to play with. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, people giving you love for the Bray Wyatt pick. I just couldn't take him. I don't like him. I just couldn't take him. That's the only reason I couldn't take him. I wanted to, but sometimes I could. I don't want to let him in. I don't want to let him in. Manny says, I do like the ladies on John's side. Thanks so much, Manny. And remember, some of you are catching up to us a little bit later. We protected two wrestlers from our respective brands. Aaron protected Roman Reigns and Bayley. So he did select Bayley in essence first and Roman Reigns first. And I protected Drew McIntyre and Asuka, both being in essence selected first by my side of things as well. So give some love to both of us for that situation. That was a lot of fun, Aaron. Good suggestion. Good suggestion,
yeah,
brother man.
Yeah, we got it. We'll do that. We should do that again sometime. That was
I agree. I agree. Maybe a Hall of Fame top 10 draft where all these
Hall
of Fame.
That would be cool. Or maybe we could like draft our, like, you know how we talked about doing a top 10. Maybe we just draft favorites. Like, I think for Survivor Series in November, we should draft teams.
Like, I like that.
Our 5-on-5 teams. I know we'll get to this in a minute, but
yeah.
I was talking to Ryan and he was talking about coming on the show in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And I was thinking like maybe bring him in on
that. Would be great.
I would like to bring him in on that.
Hell yeah. That'd be a lot of fun. Maybe we'll clip this part out and send it to him. Maybe he'll get into it. Real quick, Streamlab from Joseph Kerr. And he said, hey, y'all, hope y'all are staying safe and healthy. Roka, how was the move? It's great. I'm so happy down here, man. If y'all were put in charge of WWE, what is the first change you would make? For me, it would be to get rid of the Universal title and bring back the World Heavyweight title. Oh, yeah. All right. What do you say, Aaron? What would you do if you were put in charge of WWE? What was the first thing that you would do?
Well, that would be on the SmackDown side. So I would welcome a change to that title. What I would do first is I would eliminate the tag team championships being on two shows.
Oh, yeah,
I would also eliminate two women's championships. I want one. And I would not necessarily eliminate both mid-card titles, but I would go back to their original looks. I know that's more of a logistical situation it's the reason that they're not the way that they are. Those belts have been changed is a legal situation. There's a legal situation there, but so what I would do is I would change the belts originally. I would get the world title back. I think that's needed over the universal title.
Yeah.
And I would shorten the women's, cause I just don't feel like they have enough contenders on the main roster for the women's titles to have two of them. And I would consolidate the tag teams into one title, not two.
Yeah. I'll tell you the honest truth. I would probably cut like 10 to 15 to 20 wrestlers, bring up a lot of the NXT people and give them a shot to take those spots. I could be pretty cruel if I was to put in charge of the WWE Raw roster. There's a lot of people who are going to get pink slips by the end of the day. And there's a lot of people that are going to get promoted up from NXT and NXT UK. Who I'm going to try to highlight and focus and showcase and whatever. It's not about age. It's not about youth or anything like that. It's more about who can excite the fan base, who can get me some butts and seats, make me some money, and sell me some merch. That's what it's all about. So I would probably, first thing I do is slice a lot of these people who are middling to okay, who are not getting over, and go and bring people up who can get over and see what I can do there. That's probably the first thing I'd do, which is terrible, but it would be. But I pay them out. I pay out the contracts. I pay out their contracts, but I would.
Well, that's nice.
Make some. Yeah, make some.
It is. It is nice to get a severance package.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah.
You're a good GM. Sure. You're a good GM paying your people. I like
I that. Care about people, man. What can I say? anyway, keep sending in your Streamlabs super chats. We're going to jump into the news now and let us know, you know, maybe later on in the show. Later on when you're watching this, for those of you who are not going to watch this live or are watching this later, let us know what your top picks are for Raw and SmackDown in the comment section below, and hit that like button, that thumbs up button here on this video as well, and subscribe to the channel. All right, let's jump into this, man. What do we got?
And just real quick, I've got SmackDown on my TV here. I'm not like watching it actually. Like, it comes on in about 30 minutes. So if we're still on the air talking, I will try to update picks as they come through. So
Sounds good.
All right. So our first topic of news comes from NXT TakeOver 31 this past weekend, where they'd been showing these vignettes of, like, you know, green screen, or not green screen, but it was like in night vision. And it was like, who is this mystery person? They were coming back to NXT, and they were a champion. They showed the championship belt, and a lot of people thought it was maybe Bobby Roode, but he ended up showing up on Raw. The big consensus was it's got to be Bo Dallas, because Bo Dallas is a former NXT champion, and they've not done anything with him.
Right.
So it would make sense that he would return. But they were all wrong, and it was Ember Moon who returned from injury. She last wrestled in October of last year. Right. She suffered that career-threatening ankle injury where she went on WWE backstage and basically said, you know, my rehab's not going very good. It's going very slow. I don't know if I'm ever going to come back. And you really felt that was genuine, and that she really did not know if she was ever going to return to the ring.
Right.
And you saw, like, the pain in her eyes. And Booker T, who's her trainer, was also, you know, saying, like, don't give up. And Mark Henry was there, too, saying, don't give up. You got to stick through it. So I'm glad that Ember Moon has, you know, taken this long road to recovery, and now she's back in NXT where she belongs.
Yeah.
And she's going to come back, and it looks like she's going to challenge Io Shirai for the title. Nice. Which is a match that I definitely want to see. So Ember Moon is back. All is well. What do you think?
I love it. I think it's great. You know, we get these wrestlers that come through, and they make an explosion when they first show up, but then eventually they can't figure out how to book them consistently well. And in the end, they kind of get pushed to the wayside, and then an injury happens, right? And especially with black female wrestlers, that's certainly been a strong pattern with Naomi and with others that have been through this whole rigmarole. And certainly Ember Moon was kind of falling into that as well. Then she got injured. Now she's back. I hope they let her do what she does best here at NXT. And maybe the Finn Balor situation has kind of woken up the WWE to the fact that NXT can be a place they move people over. And maybe the wrestlers themselves can move to NXT and feel comfortable that they're not necessarily being moved down or anything like that, because it's on TV. People can see them. And most of the times they're beating AEW in the ratings. So certainly it's a well-seen program. So seeing Ember Moon get back into that smaller ring, get back into that performance center, feel the vibe of the crowd, do what she does best, it's going to be a great way to showcase her. And then eventually, hopefully, she'll move to Raw or SmackDown and ply her wares even better there. I mean, we've seen this. Aaron Wright, Drew McIntyre is a perfect example. Just because it doesn't 100% work the first time doesn't mean you can't find your way back, do some hard work, get back over with the fans, and end up being the face of the company and the champion. Ember Moon could absolutely be where Asuka's at right now. So it's just a matter of, like, getting some. And remember, she's still young. So it's still time for her to build and mature and get into and become an even better wrestler than she already was. So I'm excited to see that for sure.
Yeah, a couple other quick news and notes from NXT TakeOver 31. Thought the show was awesome.
Yes.
Thought it was excellent. Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor had the banger that we thought they were going to have. It was excellent. My pick was wrong. And Kyle O'Reilly did not win, but he did break Finn Balor's jaw in two places. So, so there's that. But also, like, if that wasn't cool enough that Ember Moon was returning to bolster the women's division, before that, as Io Shirai defeated Candice LeRae, we were told that Toni Storm is coming to NXT. I call it NXT proper. I mean, whatever. She's leaving NXT UK and coming to NXT US, I guess, NXT proper.
Right.
And she will be competing in the women's division. So now we've got a division that has Io Shirai at the top, Candice LeRae, Ember Moon, Toni Storm, Rhea Ripley, Dakota Kai. I mean, we're Shotzi Blackheart. Like, this thing is getting stacked again. Yep. They've somehow reloaded an already almost loaded women's division.
Yep.
So it tends to make me think that we're going to see some people plucked from NXT to go to Raw or SmackDown. I could be completely wrong about that, but Rhea Ripley seems like the one that I'm keeping my eye on that's going to get drafted somewhere along the way or picked up in some way, shape, or form. Because it just seems like, in a way, that she's kind of almost outgrown NXT. Like, there's not much for her to do. She was the NXT Women's Champion. She ended Shayna Baszler's reign. But I am super excited to see Toni Storm again, because in NXT UK, with them being gone for so long because of the pandemic, I mean, there's nothing you can do about that UK. I'm glad that a lot more people stateside are going to get to see her. She already has a huge fan base. A lot of people in the US already know who she is, but I do want to see her get that bigger exposure because she's fun to watch. She's a great wrestler, and I'm ready for it to be Toni time on NXT again.
Yeah, I thoroughly agree with you, man. Seeing Toni Storm coming into NXT might get me to start turning on the TV to watch NXT again, because I thoroughly enjoy her as a wrestler. She's great in the match. She's great on the mic. And she's going to be fun to see her. Once again, this is another young lady as well. What's her maturity level coming into this situation? How is she going to grow as a talent, as a wrestler, and as a person while she's there? It's going to make us like her even more, or put her even more with the fans. So I'm excited about that as well. And I think she can push merch like crazy. So that's a component you can't take out of the equation anymore. So to see her be a part of this, I think it's going to be great exposure for her. This is way long overdue, and it's time for her to step forward and do her thing and have some colossal and classic matches. I mean, I'm already looking forward to whoever she faces at the next NXT TakeOver pay-per-view. I can't wait to see that. So I'm excited to see her be a part of this. And I think she's going to push the other wrestlers, and the other wrestlers are going to push her. And I don't want to see any of them go over to Raw and SmackDown, because it seems like they just fall into abyss when they go over there. And I don't want that to happen, because, I mean, I know Becky Lynch struggled for a while. Now she's, she was back on top and then left, of course, to have her child. Bayley was struggling for a while. People were turning on Bayley like crazy. She made something out of that. Sasha's been reborn. Charlotte has gone back and forth with her injuries and stuff, but there's not a lot of the other ladies who are really stepping forward. I mean, Lana's kind of bored me. Natalia's boring me. I like that Carmella's back, but they're not letting her do much. So it's like Lacey Evans is kind of boring. Alexa being all like caught up in the spell of the Fiend. All of that is kind of annoying to me. Just show me wrestlers and let's get on. Let's get it on. And I think we're going to get that with NXT.
I think you're exactly right, and I'm glad that wait a minute, hold on. Okay, I'm saying, what happened to my tabs? I think you're right. I think the NXT women's division is now bolstered. I think Draws Walker 9 said NXT and Impact are going to have the best women's division in wrestling. I think you're exactly right. I
agree
100%. Way better than what AEW is doing. Like, no offense to those ladies. Some of them kick real ass, and I like them a lot, but it's just not where it's at.
Yeah, I agree 1,000%. All right, and we look forward to it. We look forward to her coming back. We wish her the best. We hope she stays injury free and she really gets over as she deserves to get over with the fans.
She got a little bit of a new look with the mohawk. I think it looks great. I think she's ready to kick some tail in a minute.
I agree. What's up? What's next?
All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about Kurt Angle was on the Broken Skull Sessions with Stone Cold Steve Austin. You can watch this on the WWE Network, and they were kind of talking about basically his entire run with WWE and what happened. But one of the things that I highlighted that I was like, what the hell, is Kurt Angle admitted to taking 20 Percocets at night and a couple of Xanax and a Soma.
Yeah.
So, okay. I've worked in the pharmaceutical business for 10 years at this point. I know what a Percocet looks like. I know how strong a Percocet is. I know how many you're supposed to take in a day, and it's damn sure not 20. I can tell you that. So it's a couple things here. Like, the fact that Kurt Angle is still alive is incredible. The fact that he didn't die is amazing. The fact that he can still walk, that he's not addicted still is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's talking about, and being honest, taking 20 Percocets a day and a couple Xanax on top of that, and hell, just throw Soma in there.
Right.
Dude, like, what in the world is going on? And this all comes from Kurt Angle's injuries. Of course, he won the Olympics with a broken freaking neck. He had a groin injury, back injury, hamstrings. He said it was something every week. I was still traveling, still working, started taking painkillers. Then two wasn't working. Then I went to four, went to eight, and just kept getting higher and higher. I got so out of control, I was able to put it back right before WrestleMania 19. And then my sister dies of a heroin overdose, and that put me back on it.
Yeah.
And then he said, I ended up hurting my neck again. I told Vince. I was sending Vince text messages that I was going to beat the crap out of him when I saw him. He didn't say crap, though. Why aren't you answering my calls? He's like, I mean, at this point, I was taking about 20 Percocets a night.
Yeah.
So he was saying back then it wasn't hard to get. I'm paraphrasing here from the Broken Skull sessions. Back then, it wasn't hard to get pills. You just had to call a doctor and say, hey, get me a script. So I got myself into trouble after my sister OD'd. It was out of control. I broke my neck for the fifth time. The fourth time in WWE, I wrestled The Undertaker with my neck broken in 06, and I had one of my best matches. After that was the main event of WrestleMania 22 with Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton. Then Vince wanted to put me in ECW, and that's where it all unraveled. I decided I just didn't want to be in WWE anymore.
Yeah.
So what in the world, man?
Well, look, I've always appreciated Angle's candor when it comes to these kinds of things. I heard him on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast a couple of years ago. That episode was really emotional in terms of his reaction. And this was right after he'd come back. So maybe this was 3 or 4 years ago, to be honest with you, that I listened to it. And right after he came back to WWE, he spoke about how like the addiction and everything had really got a hold of him and how it had affected his relationship with Vince. And this was a more in-depth exploration of that, more kind of a timeline and a day-by-day, sometimes hour-by-hour recounting of what was going on for him during certain moments during this time. And it's very clear that for him, he really was one of these guys. He just has one of these personalities that he seeks a father figure. And certainly Vince was that for him. And he certainly said right off the bat, like, Vince was my father figure and blah, blah, blah. And he talks about how The Rock and Stone Cold and others and Triple H, they had a better business mind than he did. So he was happy to get the contract initially and then turned it down the first time thanks to his agents that had come back and work his way back up. And that kind of put him in a position where he was kind of submissive to Vince's dominant nature. So he was naturally seeking his approval, Vince's approval the whole time, which is why he, you know, kind of turned into a petulant child a little bit with the usage of the drugs, texting him that he's going to kick his butt. By the way, Vince probably gets that text every day from somebody, which tells you why he didn't respond. He's like, oh, okay, another one getting all nutsy on me, whatever. You know, Vince is a tough guy. For all the crap we might talk about him, Vince is a tough, tough dude. I mean, you watch those Dark Side of the Ring episodes, that one episode where they're telling him that he was taking people's finishers in a bar, not even on a mat, in a bar, a concrete floor with a little bit of carpet on it. You know, he's just willing to do it. That tells you how tough that guy is mentally and physically. And so with Angle, he knew that this was the way to play. He probably cared about him very deeply. He even tried to, he said he gave him some advice that changed his life, told him to go get that rehab, go away for 6 months and figure his stuff out. But, you know, that's the truth. And this is the sad truth of wrestling, the sad truth of any sport. The second you go away for a while, someone new is going to pop up to fill that void. Because if the sport is supposed to survive, or if a competition is supposed to survive, you need new stars, and new stars can slide in and really grab the public's imagination. How ironic that it was John Cena. And when Cena came in, he essentially became Vince's favorite son, and this really pissed off Angle even more, which is why he had to leave. He was probably hurt emotionally and also doing all the Percocet and everything that he was doing just to stay alive, just to stay, just to numb the pain. He wasn't sleeping, nights on end, not sleeping, you know. So there was a lot of self-destructive stuff that he was doing because he was still attached to the WWE and attached to Vince. So cutting that cord, I think, was also a very smart decision by Kurt. You know, you're talking about what Vince said to him, but also what Kurt did for self-preservation, I thought was really smart too. He had to go into that wilderness. He had to go to TNA. He had to go to Impact, I think. He had to go to all these things and then eventually slowly find his way back through his healing, through his rehab and what have you, back to Vince. And, you know, there is that video on the WWE Network, I think, of like following Angle 24 hours that day that he came back, and you see how emotional he is to be reunited with Vince. And Vince, he says in this interview too with Steve Austin, how Vince showed him the text messages, the constant text messages. So Vince was clearly getting them. He just wasn't going to respond to him and play into it. So it's a sad thing to hear about that he went through, but it is a positive that he got through it and he came out the other side. And hopefully he stays on the straight and and narrow, and you know, the love of his family, love of his wife, and everything like that. Because I mean, you see the pictures on him on Instagram, he looks incredible for a guy his age. It just barely an ounce of fat on that man's body, and that takes a lot of hard work and dedication to maintain that as you get older. Look at me, I'm a tubby bitch. This guy's been working out the whole time, through it all, through all the pain, through all the drugs, through all the rehab, through all of that. Lifting weights has maintained him, physical work has maintained him, and maybe that could be one of the reasons why he was able to survive this abuse to his body and come out the other side. So you got to give him a lot of credit for doing that. I'd rather celebrate the journey that is a redemptive one than to wallow in the pain that led to the redemption. So much love to Kurt Angle for that, for sure.
And I'm a fat vegan, just for the record, just so we're keeping it 100. But I do want to share something. I mean, I don't mean to dwell on it. I don't mean to dwell on the Percocet thing, but there is one thing I got to share from this interview that just kind of threw me. Yeah. When he was saying, the day before I quit, I went to a production meeting. I walked up to the front where Vince and the people were, and I pulled down my pants to my knees. My balls were showing.
Yeah, yeah.
A big black and blue mark across my groin area, all the way down to my hamstring, up my groin and my stomach. I tore three muscles the night before at a house show. That night for Raw, I was supposed to do a triple threat ladder match. Yeah. And I walked in, and I just wanted Vince to see what was going on and why I'm so unhappy. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the meeting with my ass showing to the people in the back. And Vince said, "Whoa, I guess you want to talk." But and then Austin went on to ask him, like, "What were you thinking taking 20 Percocets a day?" And Angle said, "I don't know. I don't even take them with water. I just crunch them in my mouth and swallow them."
Yeah.
So there Jesus. You go.
Jesus, man. It's just mind blowing to think about what you have to do. And it's like last night I rewatched the Ben Affleck film, The Way Back. And you're seeing the casual nature with which an alcoholic drinks the amount that they drink per day, like it's no big deal. No, 60 beers in the refrigerator, drinking an entire bottle of vodka, all of that throughout one day. You know, the addiction is an expensive addiction. No matter what your addiction is, it can be an expensive addiction. And you find your way to spend your money on all of that to numb the pain or to escape something. And that's what's going on in that movie too. He is numbing the pain of the loss of his child. And so that's what that's the whole reason why he's in the condition that he's in. Same thing here, Kurt, numbing the pain of the injuries, numbing the pain of like feeling like he's not getting to where he wants to get to, numbing the pain of the fact that he hasn't made as much money as everybody else. All of those things weigh on him, and then eventually Cena taking a spot. So all of that just kind of like combining to kind of weigh in on him. So, you know, the decision was made there, and eventually, you know, he climbs out of it. So nothing wrong with that, I think, in my opinion. And look, professional wrestling is a tough, tough life, brother. It is a tough, tough life, which is why I get super angry when people make fun of professional wrestling. It's like it's beneath them. Meanwhile, they're begging to do a Viagra commercial or something for their dick size or the dick ability, you know, all this kind of shit. It drives me nuts when actors bash on professional wrestling. Motherfucker, you're dying to do a fucking Applebee's commercial. Suck my dick. Like, there's real people who are doing this shit and put their bodies on the line and taking the hits, you know. Stand-up comics are no different. Stand-up comics making fun of professional wrestlers is about the biggest joke in the world. You all are sleeping in roach infested motels just to stay alive to go do fucking open mics or go get paid $50 to go do something in Albuquerque or fucking Schenectady, New York, and you're going to make fun of a wrestler who's essentially doing the same fucking thing, plying his trade for sometimes crappy money in crappy hotels because they love it, you know. And so I hate when people crap on people like that. I'm just saying, it drives me nuts.
No, man. I gotcha.
Because Kurt gave a lot to us, man. He's a funny, funny guy, great person, a great character. And look how much, reading that, I was just heartbroken at how much pain he was enduring just to entertain people who came to a house show, man. That's mind-blowing, dude.
I think the thing that sums up Kurt Angle perfectly, he, on the way to WrestleMania a couple of years ago, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame to the WrestleMania that we went to. And he was on our local radio show, and the guy asked him, said, you know, when the crowd chants, "You suck," like, how does that feel? What does that, you know, make you, does that hurt your feelings that they say you suck? And he said, "No, it doesn't hurt my feelings at all. It's a term of endearment at this point. Like, imagine," he's like, "imagine if I came back to the WWE after all these years and they said nothing."
Yeah, right. He's like, he's the worst. Yeah,
he's exactly. Like, just absolutely nothing. He's like, "You suck." Oh my god. He's like, "That's why I go with it. The whole, I want them to say it because that tells me that they know who I am. They never forgot, and that they do love me. It's a term of endearment." And I just thought, people saying "you suck" is a term of endearment. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Corey Springs, LOL, Roka's going ham.
Yeah, you did go pretty hard. I'm not going to lie.
Xavier Black, why said Roka, come down, man, come down.
Come back. And Manny Gonzalez is not wrong also saying my dogs were calling me. You are correct. I'm watching six dogs. Shit's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, listen to that. They're chirping hard. Anyway, sorry if I offended anybody. I just get upset when people make fun of it because it's a sport that needs to be respected. You may not like it. You're allowed not to like it, but don't disrespect the people who take part in it, man. It's a lot. That's a lot of them. All right, where are we at next, brother?
All right, we're talking about, I know you've talked about this earlier this week, but we're talking about Glow season 4 being canned by Netflix. Just, hey, we're going to do season 4 not so fast. Canceled due to COVID-19, the pandemic. Canceled 3 weeks into filming the fourth and final season, but all series regulars were paid for season 4. So if there's nothing, I guess that if there's nothing good that came out of this, that's one good thing that everybody did get paid. I saw that Taya Valkyrie, who's married to John Morrison and is a wrestler in Impact Wrestling, female wrestler, was in the cast of Glow season 4.
Yes.
And she was talking about how disappointed that she was that it got canceled. So, of course, people are going to be disappointed. Mark Maron put his thing out there that, you know, everybody's disappointed that this happened. Yeah. Betty Gilpin put out that hilarious yet sad statement that she put out. So I'm a big fan of Glow. I kind of trailed off at season 3, like the last season, I kind of just started kind of falling out of love with it. But the first two seasons I love dearly.
Yep.
And I think it's a great show. And I wish I could have seen it, you know, to its end. I would have liked to see where they were going to go with it.
I think the irony of this whole situation is Glow got canceled, just like the actual Glow got canceled, just before they were about to like really kind of hit the big time or find a way through. And it got canceled prematurely again for a number of reasons, right? Obviously the COVID situation there, but in real life it was the money situation. But I think it mirrors the show so perfectly that something people were just getting into gets canceled before it gets a chance to get more fans because of something that is out of the wrestler's control. And this situation, it is heartbreaking. Zeno Hour says, give us a Glow movie. Absolutely agree. Give us a Glow movie. Yeah. I know Mark Maron called for that. I certainly said that on Mornings with the Outlaw. I'd love to see a Glow movie where we get to wrap up this stuff like 10 years later. Like 10 years later, they're at a reunion after the company's been canceled, or the promotion's rather been ended. And it's like, okay, like where are they now? And kind of reflecting back. And I thought that'd be a great way to do a movie that still has scenes from season 4 that just do them in flashbacks. So you're finding like every throughout the movie, every scene is from the scene 4 that they were going to shoot. Anyway, you know, you age them up a little bit with makeup and what have you, and have them go back. If you watch that Glow documentary, that was all about those ladies meeting at a get together, an anniversary or a convention, and then talking about their experiences throughout the years being a part of Glow. So I think that would be a great way to kind of wrap this thing up. And hopefully when the COVID situation is handled, we get a vaccine by next year. Then we start to put things back in motion, then hopefully Netflix opens the door to the possibility of a movie. Because I also think, Aaron, it would be tough for them to keep all those ladies. They're all kind of branching out, doing their own thing. Alison Brie, Betty's getting bigger. The actress who plays the Wolf Girl, she was just a big part of Perry Mason. So a lot of these actresses, Jackie Tone is doing her own thing. I think the girl who plays Mark Maron's daughter that we find out from the first season, she's gone off and doing more and more things as a lead. So eventually you can't keep them all in-house. They have to branch out and do their own thing.
It's a big cast.
And it costs money to keep them together. And so in the end, it's a shame that it has to end this way. But it's strangely poetic to how the real life Federation ended. So it's heartbreaking, but you know, you kind of have a little bit of that too.
I kind of did want to see Alison Brie's character actually go over to Russia and just be like loved in Russia. I think that would have been hilarious if they did something like that. Like one of my favorite episodes of Glow is when they did, I think it's from the first season. No, it's from the second season. Right. When the whole episode was just like a commercial.
Oh yeah.
I love that episode. And I've seen so many brilliant people take a shit on it. Like it was really bothered me. I love that episode.
Me too.
Probably my favorite one is that one. I love that episode.
I think it was people. Well, yeah, Ryan didn't like it, which really surprised me because I thought the diehard wrestling people would love that episode. And he was, I think if I remember correctly, he's one of those guys, Ryan Satin, he's one of those guys who didn't like the episode. It kind of surprised me because it was a great mirroring of what the actual show was. So right. I thought that was brilliant too. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll keep tabs on it. I'm sure, Aaron, we'll talk about it here on the show for sure. But for now, Glow goes the way of the dodo, sadly. And we have the memories of it. If you haven't watched it, can't encourage you enough. At least watch the first two seasons, as Aaron said. Yeah, the third season gets a bit wonky with Vegas and Gina Davis and all that. Still a good season. It's just not as good as the first two. So just watch the first two, and I think you'll get a great enjoyment out of it for sure.
It's a super easy binge, too. Was it like 8-10 episodes, and they're like 30 minutes each?
30 minutes, yeah.
Very, very easy show and hilarious. Everybody on there does such a great job. And you see cameos from Alex Riley, John Morrison, Carlito's in there, Brodus Clay, Joey Ryan's in there too, but less said about that, the better. And, you know, like I said, Ty Valkyrie was going to be there. Chavo Guerrero's in it too.
Chavo is in this, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, some of your favorite wrestlers kind of show up and do their thing. It's very good. So, yeah. Agreed. I will miss Zoya the Destroyer and Liberty Bell going at it for sure. I love both of those characters. Indeed. But, I mean, we're at the point of the show where we're talking about the match of the week.
Oh, real quick. Before we do that, we got a Streamlab that came through from Jack Kelly.
Hit it.
He said, huge fan of the Broken Skull Sessions, and Angle's episode was one of my favorites. Who would you guys most like to see sitting across from Stone Cold? I'd say Sting or Triple H.
See, I would have said Bret Hart, but he's already done that. Okay. I would have said The Undertaker, but he's already done that. I think Sting is an excellent one. That is one I like to see. And of course, if death was not an option, I would like to see Warrior, I think would have been a good one. Put Hulk Hogan in the Broken Skull. Let's hear what Hogan's got to say.
Yeah.
I think that Roman Reigns, I think, would be a good one if he could get Paul Heyman again.
Yeah.
I would like to see like an updated Paul Heyman, put Brock in that hot seat.
Right.
I'd like to see Brock in there. So plenty of people to do it with. But yeah, Sting would be at the top of my list too. I'd love to hear that. Good call.
Has he ever done The Rock? Has he ever done The Rock?
On the Broken Skull Sessions, no, but I'm sure he's been on the pod somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I would say The Rock. That'd be my number one choice, just to talk about their battles and their history through it. I mean, even, you know, it'd be great, a table of three for 2 hours with Stone Cold, Triple H, and The Rock. That
would be something.
Right. A 2-hour discussion with with those three guys talking about their experiences during the Attitude Era and the changes in the character and what they've all gone off to do. It would be incredible. And how they probably never glimpsed what was possible. Do you know what I'm saying? But for all three of them. So I think that would be fun to absolutely listen to. I think the other one, and this is a dirty, dirty desire, but like and having Deborah on the show.
Let's not.
Well, you say Lesnar, he's not going to bring up Deborah. I mean, it seems to be some territory they would go over together, for God's sake.
Why would they go over that?
You don't think so?
Why would they go over that?
Didn't Lesnar marry Deborah?
He married Sable.
Oh, Sable. I'm sorry. I thought Lesnar married Deborah. Never mind. All right,
Manny Gonzalez says Ric Flair. I think he already did that, but if not, he definitely... Ric
Flair, though.
That's true. I don't think... I think that Ric Flair did the podcast. I don't know if he did the Broken Skull Sessions. I could be wrong. But yeah, that would be, of course. Yeah, that would be a good one. So SmackDown just came on. So I'm I'm paying attention for you guys and everybody. But yeah.
All right, let's get into the match of the week then.
So we're talking match of the week, Halloween Havoc 1993. Spin the wheel, make the deal. Big Van Vader versus Cactus Jack in a Texas death match for not the WCW title. Yet Vader is the WCW champion at this time, but what is the Texas death match? You got me.
Yeah.
Because when I heard the rules for this, I was like, that's really fucking stupid. Yeah. And the rules are as follows. You have to pin a guy, like you have to get the 1-2-3 pin. Then there's a rest period for 30 seconds. And then if the person can't answer a 10 count, they lose.
Right.
So you essentially have 40 seconds to get up.
Somehow that's anti-death if you have 40 seconds.
It's just really bad. But it's a WCW gimmick from hell, but it is a hell of a match. And it starts off immediately because Cactus Jack goes right for Vader and pays for it because Vader punches him right square in the mouth. Yeah. And that's when Cactus Jack is immediately busted open because you know Vader was throwing heavy shots and Cactus Jack took every single one of them.
Yeah.
And it was great. Vader, right off the bat, hits his hand on the steel post, which kind of gives Cactus Jack a bit of an advantage. Cactus Jack tackles Vader into an open grave.
Yeah.
It like says that
R.I.P. happened. Vader.
R.I.P. Vader. Very Halloween. I love Nick Patrick in this because Cactus Jack knocks him down into the grave, and Nick Patrick says, "I ain't going down in there." And you can hear it on camera. It's hysterical that that happens. But then they get back up to their feet, and they start brawling a little bit. And then, you know, Cactus Jack gets a couple of pinfalls, but Vader gets up.
Yeah.
Harley Race reveals that he has a taser, which is great. Great That's gimmick. Up. And he's saying, telling the camera guy, "Oh, here comes Stephanie McMahon," saying, "Get away from me, get away from me." And then eventually the taser is used on Cactus Jack to keep him down for the 10 count. And Vader gets the W over Cactus Jack in this match. What did you think of it for being 1993 in a Texas death match?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the ending was a little bit clumsy, but other than that, I thought the show, I thought the match was great. And it's like, this is Foley. How far away are we from Foley off the cage in this year?
So that's 98, I believe. So we're about five years away.
He is giving you a preview of what he's willing to do to his body in this match. I mean, trying to do a sunset flip off the mat onto the ground with Vader is crazy. And Vader doing that sit and miss on his must have killed his spine. But he's being thrown over the rails, thrown over the cages. Like it's insane to watch what Foley is willing to do to his body throughout this match, and Vader a little bit too. Foley bloodies himself up, but I'm gonna tell you something: nobody delivers or takes a chair shot quite like Foley. And those weren't those tear away simple aluminum chairs. Those were back then. Those were the real fucking chairs. Those heavy metal chairs that they used. I mean, when he was throwing it legs first, I was like, "No, stop it!" It was crossing that line. But some of the hits they take on each other are just absolutely brutal. But they're delivered great. I mean, that DDT he delivers on the ramp when he suplexes him over the ramp, he almost takes Vader's head off. Just barely he makes that turn under Cactus Jack so that he doesn't get his head caught on the platform and neck broken possibly. So this is a lot of girth being thrown around the ring here, and it is not easy to get these moves right when you're tired, when you've taken some hits, and there's a lot of jagged edges all around you, man. But they found a way to do it, and I enjoyed it. I mean, I liked Foley grabbing, or Cactus Jack rather, grabbing the camera from the lady's camera and hitting Van Vader with it from the beginning. So there's a lot. And Harley Race getting involved too. I love the taser. That was brilliant. And then hitting the DDT for getting a DDT for his troubles. I thought it was great as well. But all of it, just a fun match. And Vader surprisingly wins because it's non-title match though. So I thought for sure Foley would win this one. But Vader surprisingly wins and walks away from this thing. And then it abruptly ends. And that's pretty much
it. That's it. That's it. How about that moonsault? How about that moonsault Vader does? Wow. That's a 400-pounder doing a moonsault, fellas.
Like, people are trying to give Kamala props for what he was able to do, as limber as big he is. But, like, for God's sakes, that moonsault, it was stunning, man.
Yeah.
All right, we're getting updates here, huh?
Yeah, someone updated in the chat. Seth Rollins is the first person to switch. He's going to SmackDown. Drew McIntyre is staying on Raw. So is the Hurt Business, and so is Asuka. So Seth Rollins is the first to switch. So
what are we doing here? Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns? Is that what we're setting up here? Are they going to get together?
It could be. Roman Reigns is staying on SmackDown. So Raw, the way they're doing this is Raw gets three picks. SmackDown gets two because Raw's a three-hour show. But, so Seth Rollins is the first to do an interview with him right now. Wow. But the thing about Foley, though, Cactus Jack in this thing, when he jumps on Vader's back and he's like clawing at his face and Vader just falls back on the ramp with him, no thank you is what I say to that. I didn't want any of that. Like, no, Vader's a big dude. The thing is, like, JR and all these people that knew him very well said that he was such a big teddy bear, which I find that hard to believe. He's like a big lineman from Colorado, played at Colorado, played for the Buffaloes. I just don't see him, you know, being that way, but I guess he was. I think that's pretty cool. So
I agree. And it's a fun character to play for a guy who's a big teddy bear because he gets to hide behind the mask. He gets to play out the fantasy of being the villain or what have you. But he was always beloved by the fans. So that's got to tell you that his natural energy came through as a competitor and really connected with the fans. So that when he passed, there were a lot of people who were heartbroken about his passing and put out some heartfelt sentiments about him as well. So he's very much a beloved guy, and it was great to watch him wrestle here with Foley. It was a great back and forth between these two guys, man. Yeah.
The sad thing about this match, two out of the three in the event, Harley Race, Vader, and Cactus Jack. Cactus Jack, of course, has it, but Vader and Harley Race both have left us.
Yeah.
Very, very sad news. But yeah, Justin Toner, or was it Justin Toner who said it? Grimash said it. He said Keith Lee, you know, he has a lot of faith in Keith Lee being a big guy that can move like that. I definitely agree with that 100%. Yeah. He's a guy that can do moonsaults, backflips, whatever you want. Damian Priest is another big guy that can move. Dominic Dijakovic is another big guy that can move. I always like seeing a big guy that can move. We've seen Braun Strowman jump off the top, do drop kicks, do all kinds of stuff.
Right.
He's another guy that can do those kind of things. So
absolutely.
If there was some kind of fantasy warfare, I would like to see Braun Strowman versus Vader. That would have been a hell of a match. I would have loved to see something like that. I'd like to see Braun Strowman versus 1989 Hulk Hogan as well. Woo! I think that would be amazing.
That'd be a fantastic match. Don't deny it. Wow. Interesting. All right. All right. Well, I think that's our good. Well, one last thing. I love Nick Patrick switching the table around because they messed that up. I thought that was really funny.
Nick Patrick is underrated in this matchup, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. He's really like, I got to save these two idiots from themselves.
So good.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, that's our strong style. I think our revisit of that match of the week, Aaron, anything else we need to go over, my brother?
Well, we need to talk about what next week is. It's Halloween Havoc. It is another Halloween Havoc. It is Hulk Hogan versus the Warrior, not the Ultimate Warrior. There you go. One of the worst matches in the history of WCW. The next two matches are going to be so terrible to talk about, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you guys revisit these for sure.
Yeah.
As we kind of close out, what I didn't realize, John, is that we have an extra Friday in October, so we need to add another match. I think if it's okay with you, we should do a watch along again.
Yeah,
and I think we should do the Boneyard match to really sell the Halloween element, the AJ Styles Undertaker Boneyard match. Because how do you not have?
I'm down with that
Halloween theme without the Undertaker.
I'm down with that. Absolutely. I think that's a great idea.
Let's do that. So watch along Boneyard match coming the last Friday in October. So there you go.
Put it on the schedule.
There you go.
All right. Yeah, Justin Turner. Oh, man, that match was super bad. Yes, it was. As we're, you know, we don't just cover the great matches. Some of the terrible matches as well in his. They're classic for all the wrong reasons. That's for damn sure. Indeed. All right. Well, thanks everybody for watching this episode of Strong Style. I really appreciate you all hanging out with us every week, doing it live here on Fridays, our new home, and appreciate all the Streamlabs and super chats that were sent through. I want to check one more time to make sure there's no more Streamlabs. Okay. Yeah. We're pretty light today, but, you know, we'll be doing it harder and harder, over the next few weeks for sure. And we'll be changing the show a little bit, adjusting the show a little bit, maybe doing some Raw SmackDown recaps, some AEW recaps, NXT recaps. So things you guys have been asking for. Aaron and I might be exploring doing that as the show kind of morphs and changes into what it will ultimately be. So thanks for being with us through this whole journey. We appreciate it madly. What can we tell them, Aaron? Any last thing? Oh, well, and congratulations to our friend Ryan Satin,
who's
been named a Fox Sports contributor for professional wrestling. So shout out to him. I think I'm getting that right. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. He's already contributed a few articles on the draft and various things. Yeah, he's working for Fox Sports. And I guess Pro Wrestling Sheet's up for grabs if you want to buy it.
oh, no, it's not up for grabs.
Oh, it's not up for grabs. Okay, sorry.
Homie's still taking it. He's going to find someone else to run it. Good luck.
And they will run it into the ground. Yeah, good luck. Fill in those shoes, pal. But, yeah, talk to Ryan over the weekend. He's very excited about all the big opportunities. Said that give him a few weeks so he gets settled, and he would be more than glad to come on the show. So
that's awesome.
Eventually, we're going to have Ryan on the show. It's going to be great. I can't wait to see him on here, and you guys throwing in your questions and revisiting good times with our friend Ryan.
A little reunion of sorts for the three of us, for sure. Indeed. All right, where can they find you, Aaron, and everything that's going on, my man?
You can find me when I'm not drafting people to my show on SmackDown. You can find me on Twitter at Only Aaron Turner, where you can find me there probably talking about wrestling or making fun of flies on people's heads.
And you can find me at The Roka Says on Twitter and on Instagram. Thanks, everybody, again. And please don't forget to subscribe to the channel down below and hit that like button, that thumbs up button. If you're watching us later, hit that thumbs up button as well. And if you're watching us later, leave us a comment. The more comments you leave down below, positive or negative, they help elevate the show itself and help us get seen on YouTube because of that weird algorithm they have, and maybe bring people over to be a part of the Strong Style crew when they see it as as a suggested show for them to watch if they're watching a professional wrestling match or they're watching a professional wrestling show on YouTube. We might end up there if you put in a lot of likes, put in a lot of comments and views as well. All right, then remember to share it on your social media as well. That would be great if you could share this video as well. All right, that's it for us. You guys take care of yourselves. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe. Let him in. And enjoy the draft. And we'll talk to you next week. Another brand new episode of Strong Style.